I don't know if you recall the story that I have mentioned before that comes to us from the early days of the founding of the State of Israel. When a certain kibbutz was almost without materials and without weapons, and they had to patrol all night. And so the head of the kibbutz said to Shimon, "Listen, it's not just the weapon, it's the appearance of the weapon that matters. So here is a broom. I want you to walk around all night carrying this broom, and I want you to listen to me. This is not a broom, it's a rifle. It doesn't sweep, it fires. This is a rifle." "What is it, Shimon?" Shimon says, "It's a rifle." He said, "That's right, it's a rifle. Now take this rifle and guard our kibbutz." So Shimon walks around all night with a broom. And in the middle of the night, he hears a sound. And he says, "Stop!" And he hears another sound. He says, "Stop or I'll shoot." And all of a sudden, his friend Mordechai comes out. And he says, "Mordechai, what's the matter with you? I could have killed you." And Mordechai says, "Not with that thing. I'm a tank." Now that story, which emphasizes the vulnerability of the state, that story seems like a story from the past. But it doesn't matter how strong a state is militarily. Human beings are fragile. Their bodies are fragile, and their psyches are fragile. And there is no ultimate defense, we found that out here in the United States, against those whose desire to kill is so great that they care not what happens to themselves. I don't know how many of you, in walking the halls of our synagogue, have noticed, first of all, that we have for the first time an artist in residence, Mordechai Rosenstein, whose beautiful artwork now lines the hallways. But also, for the past 2 months, we have been displaying the art of the children of Sderot. And if, after services, you walk out the hallway towards Beverly Glen, you will see small little crayon pictures of a rocket trailing red falling into a roof, of a family of stick figures in black huddling together. Because for 7 years, with 1,000 rockets a year being fired on their city, this is the reality of the children of Sderot. When we saw the mayor, when we visited Sderot, he said to us, "You know, the rockets begin at 8 o'clock in the morning, because that's when the children walk to school." So you think to yourself, what kind of individual is it that sets fire to a rocket in the hopes that it will kill a child? And even before the horrific events of this past week, even before then, I knew the answer. Because when I saw those pictures of the children of Sderot, a shiver ran through me because I recognized those pictures. I have seen them before. Not from Sderot, and not the same pictures, but I've seen those pictures before, and they are in a book that I consider in some ways more sacred than any of the sacred books in my library. It's a book I got many years ago, and it's called I Never Saw Another Butterfly. It's the poems and the drawings of the children of Theresienstadt. Where 15,000 children were interred, and there, to pass the time before they were murdered, before they were strangled, before they were gassed, they wrote poems and they drew pictures. And when the Allied forces went into Theresienstadt and they tore up the floorboards of the barracks, they found sheaves of papers with the pictures and the poems of the children of Theresienstadt. They found The Garden, a poem by Franta Brás that reads, "A little garden, fragrant and full of roses, the path is narrow, and a little boy walks along it, a little boy, a sweet boy like that growing blossom. When the blossom comes to bloom, the little boy will be no more." Who wrote that? Franta Brás was taken to Theresienstadt at 12 and died at 14. The author of the poem, too, is no more. The children of Steyrot are not in the same situation as the children of Theresienstadt, but they too are in prison. They too are assailed, they too are under assault, and more than anything, they too face people who believe that it is good to kill children as long as they're Jewish children. So when the maniac who went into the yeshiva this week, the yeshiva named after Rav Kook, one of the great mystics and tzaddikim of the modern Jewish people, when he went in and gunned down children, and they were children, young men, he was following in a tradition that we as the Jewish people know too well. And when he killed, and we should remember their names, Doron Mehereta, the oldest of them at 26, Roy Rotem, 18, Yonadav Hirschfeld, 19, Yochai Lipschitz, 18, Yonatan Eldar, 16, Abraham Moses, 16, Neria Cohen, 15, and Segev Avichail, also 15. He knew exactly what he was doing. Everyone he killed and everyone he wounded, he was in a tradition that we know too well. And in another tradition that we know too well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if not, you should be, the UN Security Council did not condemn the attack. And I want to read you the statement of one of the ambassadors. The resolution was blocked by Libya, sitting, of course, on the Security Council, because first they said you have to block the attack on Gaza. And in this morning's LA Times, one of the ambassadors said, "What kind of specific, horrendous terror attack in the area will it take to make the council condemn without going through all the history of the region?" I want you to know what ambassador made that remark. It was the ambassador to Russia. In other words, there are some things so terrible that anybody with a scintilla of conscience left in them knows it has to be condemned. There are times when even people who aren't sympathetic to the Jewish state know that the poem of Amir Gilboa, the Israeli poet, can no longer be true when he said, "If they show me a stone and I say it's a stone, they'll agree it's a stone. When they show me a tree and I say it's a tree, they'll agree it's a tree. But when they show me Jewish blood and I say it's blood, they say, no, it's not, it's color." Once again, in the international halls of justice at the UN, Jewish blood was color. It wasn't blood. That's the reality. Day after day, week after week, and now year after year, for 7 years, the rockets have fallen on Sderot. So what do we do? What do we do? I'm not a strategist. I'm not a military man. I'm a rabbi. I don't have a rifle. I don't have a uniform. What I have is what you have, a voice. I have a voice. And what we did, at least here this week, for our voice, for our synagogue, was first of all, we put flyers together immediately to tell you where you could donate to help those families whose children are injured or have been killed. And not just those from Merkaz HaRav Kook Yeshiva, but I want to mention a Bedouin IDF scout who was killed this week. And I wish I had his name because I bless his memory and I hope you do as well. And I want to mention the name of Ilan Banai, one of his Israeli comrades, who on the same mission was wounded, had both his legs amputated, who comes from a family where both parents are hearing impaired and vision impaired, and he was their sole support. In other words, places that you can give which will help families who are in need. We arranged with the spur of our Atid member, Alana Cantor, a rally here, not this Monday night, but next Monday night, specifically for young professionals. And mailings and email blasts are going to go out to every young professional group across this city to fill this sanctuary. And we're going to have rabbis from the Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox movement speaking. Because if there is anything that should unite the Jewish people, it is lifting our voices in the face of murder. So I hope that if you are a young person or have a young person in your family, that you'll tell them to be here next Monday night, the 17th, at 7:30. Tomorrow night, you know, the men's club is having its annual Burning Bush dinner, and they're raising money for youth villages in Israel. And even more poignant at the moment. If you want to know who it is that our enemies seek to destroy when they aim at the youth of our people, then I want to introduce you to Pavel Reznyansky, originally of Russia and now of Israel, who tomorrow night at 14, as a classical pianist and a prodigy, is going to be playing. And there he is. Pavel, please remain standing so everybody can see you and welcome you. And we look forward to hearing your artistry. It is these prodigiously gifted people, our children who create art and music, or who just listen to bedtime stories and lullabies, who go to school, who draw in crayon, who pluck on the piano, or who play Bach and Tchaikovsky, these are the children that our enemies would destroy. The reason we're building an Israel center at the synagogue, the reason we're raising money specifically for a center, is so that we can have an organized response to tragedy as well as to triumph. The reason we're going to AIPAC in June, and we have almost 200 members of our synagogue going, and please, if you want to go, member or not, take a flyer outside and contact Jan Zakowski. We have people going of all ages, from teenagers on up. And I will be going, and our president, Kurt Smallberg, will be going, and our cantor will be going. And I want you to join us, because that's what we have to fight with. We have a voice. Because we can walk into the offices of senators and congressmen and say, we remember Jewish children who can no longer represent themselves. We haven't forgotten that 15,000 children went through Theresienstadt and 100 of them came out alive. We haven't forgotten. The world may forget, but we remember. The world may have guns, but we haven't lost our voices. It is not enough to read the newspaper, to look on the computer, to be sad, to say how terrible it is, and to go back to life. It's not enough. They count on us to do something with their memories. They count on us to stand up for them, because they can no longer stand up for themselves. So I hope when this service is over, you will take those flyers, you will contribute, you will come to the citywide rally at Young Israel tomorrow at 5 o'clock if you can, and then to the Burning Bush dinner next week, if you are a young professional, to the rally, and then in June, I hope that you will join us at the APAC trip. And I hope you'll do us not for yourself, although God knows each of us will feel enriched, each of us will feel elevated, each of us will be glad, but I hope you do it for them. You do it for the children of Sderot, for the young men of Mossad HaRav Kook, and their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. For the wives they will not wed and the children they will not have. I hope that you will do it because we really do believe that darkness cannot be allowed to win in this world. Because that is our sacred mission. And it is not easy. And it is not done once, but over and over and over and over again. Till the day the world stands up as a whole and agrees with us, not just that the stone is a stone and the tree is a tree, but Jewish blood is precious and Jewish souls are in the image of God and the Jewish state needs to be safe. Until those who would destroy us will get, as the prophet said, a lev chadash, a new heart, and realize that in the long history of the human race, there is no tiny people that has given more again and again to humanity than the Jewish people. And that all we ask in return is a tiny land where we can live in peace. So please, join us. Be with us. Remember them. Don't forget them. It is not only a lesson to the children who are gone, it is a lesson to our children who are here. It's a lesson in memory, a lesson in life, a tribute to the souls who have been taken, and our duty to God. Let us say once again, to the world that needs to hear it once again, Am Yisrael Chai, the nation and the people, for all of its pain and all of its loss, is still alive and will always be. Shabbat Shalom.